For if knowledge is power, then a god am. Was that over the top? I can never tell.
Welcome to another episode of the Arkham Case Files, where the inmates run the asylum. I'm Darren.
It's Jason.
I'm Ian.
This is Chris.
And today we're looking at another of the iconic crews and the iconic villains for Batman. And we're talking about the Riddler himself. So Riddler's an interesting one because he plays a little bit differently to some of the other crews that we've talked about so far, which are the ones that came in the starter box. So how would you describe the Riddler crew as playing? You know, is it an early game crew? Is it a late game crew? And what's the focus and how difficult is it to play?
I'd say they're a mid game crew, if that makes sense. Because, like, you're probably not going to score a lot of cards early on. Because, overall, it works on the opponent's revealing your suspects. Therefore, your opponent has to get to your suspects. And you have ways to force them with the Riddle markers, which is a key part of their mechanic. But they're not doing that turn one, and near the end of the game, you might barely be on the table.
So is he the sort of crew that you would want to be picking up as, say, your first crew if you're just dipping into third edition?
I mean,
if you're a Riddler?
If not, then no. You know, it's super thematic, right? And if that's your draw, you just want to riddle me this and see how a game can play without it being focused on combat, like, at all. Go for it, but it's has more complicated rule sets, and you're benefiting a lot more from knowing the opponent's crew. I mean, at the end of the day, League, they're doing their own thing. I don't think they really have to deal with the opponent. Riddler, it's like, how do they want to score? How do they want to reveal your suspects? Can you kind of bait them into doing what they already want to do and benefit for it?
So would you say he's a crew that's looking to score his own cards, or is he looking to deny his opponents more? You know, looking at what the Joker was doing, where he was, you know, difficult to deny his cards, but you could deny your opponents. How does he sit with that? Does he just go and play his own game? What sort of style are you going to be if you're a Riddler player?
So his deck is a little bit strange in that regard, because there's certain matchups where they can almost just ignore him completely. So when he's building his deck construction has to take an account of, hey, there's a chance that I have to sit there and force my opponent to play my game. So you have certain cards where, hey, I have 1 through 6 on the board. Are you going to let me get this card? And then I'm just going to keep playing that over and over. Or at the end of the round, I have 3 odds or I have 3 evens. As long as you have those in your deck and your opponent knows that, they have to deal with you at one way or another. If you decide to go a little bit less on that side and take some other generics, then they could just completely ignore you and your whole plan is just screwed to where you're going to be going and trying to stop their plan instead of scoring your cards. That's not what he wants to do.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better. There's a few more cards that can bait, but it essentially is just like half your deck is baiting your opponent, or at the very least letting you score if they don't play. And the other half is, if they play, you have like a 50-50 if you're going to score a 3-pointer or not.
He sounds like very much more of a finesse leader, where you've really got to get your practice in and know your deck as well as what your opponent can do. So possibly a higher level of learning curve for this sort of crew?
Yeah, I think you also just need to know what models you need to take, because I probably wouldn't say just take the whole Bat Box or all Riddler shit and you're get behind like a Joker crew. You have to take a free agent, but you have to take one that is exactly doing what you need to do, but you still need to make sure your eggs are in your, you know, the rest of your crew. So
if we're talking about the importance of models, obviously compared to Joker or Batman, the Riddler's got a lighter choice of leaders, shall we say. And we're not going to be talking about like the Eternal models that are out there, things like the Riddler mech, because they play vastly differently. So really, we've got just the two choices of of leader. We've got the leader that comes in the bat box, and then we've got the leader that's a member of the chair club. How do you see those two actually changing the way that you play the game, depending on the one that you take?
Well, if you take modern age, you're taking two bodyguards. So you definitely are taking his big Irish, and then you're also going to be taking the unknown, Thug 6 that comes out of the Batman Back to Gotham starter box. If you don't have those two bodyguards, you're probably losing him turn two or turn three even. Like, it gets crazy. You have to have those bodyguards. So taking Chair Riddler, the fact that you don't need those bodyguards really helped to open up and flesh out and allow you to do some of the other shenanigans with your reputation points.
And for those that don't know, both those bodyguards are 67 points exactly, zero funding. And then, you know, it lets you take the other Irish who does have Drop a Riddle and a little scooter. So as a model on his own, he's probably the better of the two, which makes sense because he came out in third. And it also, being the Chair Club Riddler, intel support encourages the opponent to reveal your suspects, therefore helping you score your deck. But, you know, if they reveal five, which is very easy in a Riddler crew, if they want to do that, you will be removing him from the table. And then you can put him back, but I would imagine he's not going to stay for long.
Would you say that the two of them make you change the way that you build your deck? Are you still just trying to play the game a particular way?
I don't think I'd really change the deck much. I mean, I might swap Easy Riddle or you activate the Riddle or both of those and take flanking with Batbox Riddler, just because his mind trick rule lets you move suspects a lot more easily. And I found myself being able to move my own suspect into my own table corner to score flanking. And obviously then I'm telling the opponent, hey, if I have this particular suspect, I'm going to score. But wait, you can remove that at any time with a Riddle marker. But I can set it up to make sure I'm always scoring a card. So I like that little trick, but I also find Stick the Plan's a great card. Just, you know, the suspect cards you're going to take. And the only other card I really found myself loving is the Medical Crate, because your crew dies easy.
So beyond Riddler as a leader, does one of you want to talk about the options that we've got for a sidekick leading a Riddler crew, or lack of options?
Anyone else? Chris? Ian?
Is there zero? You can't use Quell, or can you now?
You cannot. She can't lead the crew, but she could at least be Riddler's
sidekick. Yeah, she has a role. I don't really know what that role is yet. I've personally never taken her. I like the model. I'd like to try and take her. Maybe she can get kind of a tweak in the new app update. I'm fine with her never being able to run the crew. That kind of makes sense thematically.
She can't be the boss. There's a slight difference, because if Riddler dies, she still can't take the Inspire Aura.
Yes.
I've played her twice. I've actually found her, like, worth her points. Like, I wasn't really disappointed, although I felt like I needed a bodyguard for her just to make sure I still had her around, because she does die really easy at defense. I think she's a 3, but 6-6. Or, no, 5-6.
Six will, five endurance.
Yeah. I liked her gun. It has handy. I think it's the only gun that has handy, which is kind of weird. But, you know, it's a double blood. I think it's Breath of Fire too. So it's essentially Captain Cold's gun, but worse.
Well, it's also accurate. So you're plus one and rerolls. That's not bad at all. I mean, you're probably getting 4 blood through out of the potential 6 every time.
Yeah, I mean, I found my second game, she did kill some models, and Disarray is an amazing trait. Like, that's why I was taking her. And her objective card, I don't really like as an objective, but as a resource, it lets you move an enemy model 6 inches towards a friendly suspect. But since you have suspects all over the table, it's pretty nice for 1 point.
Yeah, no, I think it just kind of goes back to what you were saying, where if you do take her, she needs to have a bodyguard for herself. And if you're running her with modern age, he's already got your two bodyguards hanging out with him. You want to keep those just for him. You don't want to kind of split them up. And then if you're taking her with the new Chair Club Riddler, she could use a bodyguard. But now for her 45 points plus another, 20 to 40 points of bodyguard, just so she could disarray, and because both of her gun and disarray and even her other thing to motivate, everything is 8 inches. So she's got to be right up into the thick of it, and she's not tanky enough to hold her own in the thick of it.
Yeah. She does have undercover, though, and trickster, which are two pretty helpful traits.
Yeah. Undercover, I think that's actually more of a curse than a blessing for her, because it's the same thing. You've now put her up further on the board, away from any of your bodyguards. I don't see her surviving most games, and she's not running up and scoring points to make her 45 worth it for you.
Well, you don't have to go all 8 inches all the way up, but, you know, it does let you make sure you can maybe easy disarray someone turn two. I actually found me holding her back, and when my opponent moved up, I was able to get a really good shot off without really having to move. So I don't know. It's niche, but it gives you some flexibility for deployment.
How often are you using Wizard of Quiz with her?
Replacing? I mean, you only have, correct me if I'm wrong, Wizard of Quiz is when you place the suspect, you can look at the top two cards in the opponent's deck.
You could discard one and put the other one back on top of the deck.
Yeah. If she gets a change, which, I mean, if you guys know, we're kind of controlling that and can encourage it, but right now I use it about, like, twice, if I remember. If she's surviving the whole game, I mean, only have 2 ammo.
Right.
And you don't want to... You don't want to shoot after you move, so
right, just
the suspect then.
I feel like that's a decent little ability, especially with Riddler. Now you're getting to those, discarding some potentially 3-point scores or easy scores for your opponent, which just goes into more of, if you know your opponent, you can really take advantage of it.
Oh,
hopefully.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of steal effects that you have in the crew. Mm-hmm. So I could see her use. I think it would take a player who is very thinky to make it work. And I don't know how well that would make it work, but it
and
probably
it kind of bogs the game down. I've actually found myself not doing Wizard of Quiz a lot, or a lot of like the mind tricks if I didn't exactly have a reason to.
Yeah,
which I'm sure that shot myself in the foot. But I mean. I'm not going to make a 3-hour TTS game until like a 4 to 5 hour TTS game if I
just forget about them all the time, to be honest with you. There's already so much going on with the board state and my numbers and trying to balance that out. Maybe not so much now that plots are gone, but there's just a lot of those little traits where you got the aura bubbles. And if there's nothing to market for me, I tend to forget quite a bit.
Yeah. So that's 12 for you.
I think she's good if you don't want to run the twins. If you're going to run the twins, you're not going to run her.
So talking about the twins, we've got obviously a few options for Riddler-specific henchmen. Which are the ones that you are basically putting in your crew 90% of the time? What are the first ones that you go to?
Query. The LMG girl. And you fire weird ammo and you put Enervating 2 on as many people as you can. I like Echo, though, but I'm probably going to take them both. But if I'm not taking them both, I'm taking Query because she has the LMG. She's a strategist. Weird ammo. Why not? You have no problem with funding in this crew.
True.
She's probably the only gun you'll take unless you're taking Quell. And if you're not taking Quell, you're probably going to take a free agent. And let's just say they're somewhere between $400 and $500, if even that. Still got about $1,000 for equipment.
So just summarize the LMG for us a little bit. What's that putting out in terms of firepower?
Well, the LMG, unlike normal guns, is a template with rate of fire 2. So therefore, you place 2 templates. They can't affect the same model. So you generally, your 16-inch range, you're going to place 2 templates on any enemies you see. You're going to roll a single strength die, or if you move or something, an attack die. And it puts out 2 blood damage, and with weird ammo, which is equipment for 100 funding, you can either give it anti-tank or enervating 2. So that's kind of its damage. It really does just quickly put blood on people. And she's a pretty sturdy model, I think, with Acrobat. And she starts at defense 3. If you're taking Echo, they have competitive, so their stats get a little more.
What? Obviously, we know about the LMG. What about the other side of the twins? What sort of games are you seeing her in? Or is it just a case of if you're not taking Quell, you're taking her?
I've totally taken all 3 ladies. I don't really think they fight for the same position at all.
No.
I just think you want more henchmen. And 45 points is a lot. 90 points is a lot for 2 henchmen.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that they're fighting for the same position, because they're definitely not fighting for the same roles. I'm thinking they're more fighting for the reputation, because they're all in that same ballpark area. Like you said, Query is kind of a auto take. And then if you're taking Echo, normally you're taking Echo to make Query a little bit more tankier so she can survive a little bit more. And then I still like the idea of Echo running out with the reinforced gloves and kind of surprising people. They get a little too close and then she comes and knocks them out, and they normally don't really expect it. Especially if they get, you know, you get the enervating two out on somebody else. Most of the time you're using enervating so that they can't attack you. And with Echo in play, it kind of flips the table around, where you put the enervating out and then you go and attack them, and they're just, most of the time they're taken by surprise, even if they've seen that strategy before.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't mention her It's Mine ability, which I feel is very, it can be very helpful in Riddler, which is a 2-inch aura around her that the opponent cannot reveal or remove. Pretty sure it's reveal.
Just reveal.
Suspects.
So that helps to kind of force your opponent into when they have to reveal an additional based off of a riddle marker. If she's mm-hmm. protecting a number, you kind of know which numbers they're going to be taking.
Yeah. And with Mind Trick, which I do think Batbox is slightly better because of it, we're backtracking, but the Mind Trick ability, I found myself being able to move suspects closer to her. So then she's able to probably at least cover two, if not three. Three is quite tough, but definitely doable. Could do the same thing with hacking, though.
So beyond the twins, what about the rest of the sort of, if you want to use the word, affiliation henchmen? Which ones are those?
I mean, the big ones, you have your two Irish, right? So Finn is really, you take one or the other based on which leader you're taking. You're going to take him as Quiz 8 on the scooter if you're taking the Riddler on chair. And you're going to take, Quiz 4 as the bodyguard if you're taking Modern Age.
Yep. The main difference is between the both. So the new one has a scooter, has reinforced gloves instead of the blood stun heavy question mark. And he comes with Drop Another, which is a great desirable ability, which you're probably going to be buying twice from the equipment list. So, you know, it's nice to have another one that's getting extra suspects in play or Riddle Marker if you want.
So are any of the others sort of just, add to spice up, or just there to fill out the rest of the crew, or any of the others that regularly see play for you guys?
I take the bad guy a lot. Just he's a 20-point dude with pickpocket, stealth, and then he has a backpack. The only other models I'm trying to think are, like, you got the flip guy. He's pretty bad, but he's 15 points, so therefore I have taken him in list if I have 15 points spare. Because his next cheapest henchman is just like the basic thug with a shotgun, but that's funding.
Yeah, no, your three spandex Quiz 1, 2, and 3. It's kind of a shame that they don't bring anything really thematic to the crew. They're just kind of that second edition holdover guys. I mean, maybe that'll change. I kind of doubt it will. We got that new box that came out with the Charlie Chaplin and the Clockwork Orange guy. And I mean, Clockwork Orange, Quiz 7, he's got the crew that helps to give a little bit of bonus movement. So that's nice. And honestly, like Quiz 6, the Charlie Chaplin one, I don't really see me reaching for him. He's not a guy that I'm going to put in my list right away.
I've never reached for him because, like, again, he's at that point level that you could take one of the generic thugs from back to Gotham. Or if you're playing Eternal / just with the prisoners, any of them fill probably a better role. I mean, hell, if we're playing Eternal, there's that another bodyguard if you want to be that guy with three.
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, if you're taking one of the Riddlers, that's 80 points. If you're taking two of the three girls, that's another 90. And then you're popping in one of the 47s, probably the 20. And then that leaves you room for a pretty good free agent. I mean, I think that's the big part there is now you're kind of dipping into the free agents.
Yep. And then once you get that free agent, you might get like an axe thug, maybe, if you have the points left for it.
Yeah, or like you said, that's where you end up with the little 15-point spandex man.
Mm-hmm.
Before we touch on free agents you might be wanting to use, are there any of the D-lister henchmen, as we talk about them, the polka dot man, the kite man, those sorts that really see regular play, or you can see having a place in the Riddler crew. Ian, is there any of those that you'd sort of think of?
I think if they're going to run into the same problem I have with Quell and them. I mean, if you're, 40 points or 35 points for Condiment King, it's kind of hard to fit them in there. Maybe Polka Dot Man for the extra armor, if you really want that over the 20-point guy. I think I might upgrade him to Polka Dot Man because he does do some different stuff. I don't really know. I don't play Riddler all that much. I'd love to play Eraser in there, though, just to mess with my opponent more. But I'd just take a weak crew and make it even weaker.
Calendar Man fits strong.
He's the best.
But, you could be... If you bring Calendar Man and, Query, you're getting the additional strategist.
Yeah, you're at 5 strategy points.
So 5 resource is huge, especially for a guy where you want to be using your resources to manipulate your numbers, to mess around with your opponent, to make sure you can score your cards.
Yep. There's... My last game with Riddler, I ended up using the Riddles on the Storm as a resource quite frequently. It's 2 points. It reduces the damage taken from by 1 for every friendly suspect in the area. It's one of those cards that it's 2 points and it's quite expensive unless you really bring no strategist or you bring someone that can generate you more strategy points or resource points. But I'm noticing myself using that more now since plots are axed.
So with the henchmen that you've got, obviously we know at the time we're recording this, the app beta is out. So we've seen some updated equipment lists. And we're not going to go through all the features on the app because, guys, just go and try it out. It's there. It's fantastic. Have a look at it. But what sort of equipment are your henchmen? Or is there anything key that needs to be used there? Because I think, Jason, you said, funding's not an issue because you're only really buying the 1 LMG.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't yet talked about the free agents, which I do think you almost need to do before we really talk about equipment. Just because the crew is not going to kill models. You need to have someone that's designated. That's their job. So with that,
talk to us about free agents then.
Yeah. Chris, who are some of your favorites?
When I played in the TTS League, I brought Scarecrow. No, I take that back. Who did I bring with them? I had Captain Cold because that was before Calendar Man was out. So Captain Cold works really well again because you can get another strategist.
And you have Order, so you can play another Wizard of Quiz. Order one of those too.
So with Captain Cold out, I was... pretty much always had 6 to 8 suspects on the table. I was cycling through my cards so quickly. I mean, I scored over 40 points in, I think, 2 of the 4 games. This was also on the early version of the deck where you could sit there and combo play cards and get 2 to 3 cards scored in a turn. So a little bit different at that time.
Yeah, my last game was with the new version, and I did notice my victory points were... It felt a lot harder to score. I mean, I was playing against a newer player, so I was still able... it wasn't like I was getting my teeth kicked in, but I lost both my bodyguards super early. And it was rough. I felt it. Just not being able to play a lot of your cards on the opponent's activation hurts. But Hush, last league I played, I brought Rebirth Harley and Hush, and I liked both quite a bit.
Yeah, I see the new Catwoman fitting in, being able to put down a suspect marker with the number and making it a cat, and then being able to just move that thing around to get into making sure that they're always within, the right zone for your riddle markers.
Yeah, I mean, you can have your cats walk up to Echo, and then just Echo's going to keep all the cats safe. So yeah. If anyone tries killing Catwoman, they can't. She'll just pop up by Echo. Could be cute. I don't know. I've never really felt Riddler needed a Catwoman role, though. They really need someone that's going to just put out a bunch of blood. Or I like you with Harley because triple stun. We talked about that in the Batman episode.
Yeah. Now, like you said, anybody that can deal out enervating is really nice. The whole point with them is you don't want to eliminate their models because you need them to help score your cards. But you just want to slow them down on their offense. You want them to be able to still get rid of your stuff, but not be able to damage your guys. And enervating is kind of the way to go about that.
Does Scarecrow play into that? I mean, I think you touched on him when you were thinking about, what you'd used in the league. Would he have a place in there for that?
Scarecrow could. You know, he's got the... He doesn't really help you as far as getting stuff out, but he will mess with an opponent's plan and being able to just put out the Inspire bubble or Inspire Fear and gassing people and just, again, slowing them down is the biggest thing. You don't want a heavy offense coming at you very quickly.
I think the biggest thing I look at is he brings Persuasive, which I think it's just him and the old Batman Who Laughs for 145. But that way, let's say you bring down that card that's a 1-6. Maybe Persuasive Batman or some big heavy character that does not want to be revealing a marker. Well, I'm guaranteed to score 2 points unless Batman decides not to beat up one of my models. And also, to answer the question, you brought Mad Hatter in your second list, Chris. I don't recall if you ever actually played that list, though.
Yeah, I did once, and it was against Deathstroke, and it did not go too well.
Dang.
So, but I think Polka Dot Man, going back to the D-listers, Polka Dot Man is a really good guy because he's going to, again, cause those enervatings, essentially, and just slowing them down. He's going to help, especially with the modern age. He'll help to keep those around. I would almost prefer him over Quell, and they're right about the same amount of points and funding coming in.
Polka Dot causes enervating?
Well, not necessarily enervating, but you know how he can reduce the...
Gotcha.
Yeah, his dot suit reduces dice the same way enervating would.
Makes sense. Although he's taken efforts for that, but yeah. He is a pretty good model. But I think that kind of like... The only other models we haven't really talked about is... and I do like Mad Hatter and the crew. Anyone cheaper, like I could maybe see myself taking a Clock King, kind of just doubling down on what I'm already doing. But like Bronze Tiger, maybe even matches Malone, because like Riddler's probably going to die at some point. He's a hidden boss, and then you score resource points when you score cards that are not related to killing models, which are all of the cards. It could be nice, but he's 90 points, so probably wouldn't want to take the girls with him. Maybe just the two that are strategists, well, not the two, but Calendar Man and LMG Girl.
Yeah.
But with all that, we kind of already know we have about 950 funding to spend. Because none of the free agents we mentioned are like more than 450. And that being Hush the highest. Or no, he's 350. Is he? I don't know. Anyway, Ian, you want to walk us through the equipment? They're at least the good ones.
Did we ever touch on Condiment King talking about all that invigorating?
No, we didn't. I feel like you just said 35 points. Kind of a lot for him at the start. Are you going to take him?
I'm just like, if we're trying to use Invigorating, I mean, he's one of the better guys to do it with Anaphylactic Shock.
Yeah, his ketchup gun can cause, was it slow four?
Yeah, slow four, and then or poison with the mustard gun. And they're both beams, and it's salt, so he can just move around and do that.
And if I remember correctly, Anaphylactic, when you use gunmen, you can just, it's the enervating per card the opponent played, which I want to say is, you know, either an objective or a resource, up to three. But you can split
this round.
Oh yeah, this round.
That's a good card. You could. That's a lot of invigorating.
Yeah.
So going to the equipment. I mean, the obvious one that I like is Broken Equipment, just to mess with people. And then Mirror Games, which is a new one, which gives you magic tricks, which is when an enemy places a suspect within 8 inches of this model, you may place a friendly suspect in contact with that model following the usual rules. So you can just tempt them with a new suspect marker to reveal and be like, here, here you go.
Yep.
I think Curtis, that's good action economy.
Yeah, I've seen it in play with the Big Bang Theory. It's a cute little rule. Then level up for Riddler. I think that's a must take. Can you guys think of why you would never take that for like 100 funding?
If you forgot.
All right.
That's the only reason. Yeah. That should be one of the very first things you add in there. It's kind of like Gordon's and the heliport. If you sit there and you build your whole list and go, oh shit, I forgot about his heliport. That's kind of the same thing. It should always be the first thing you add after putting him in your list.
All right. And then drop another one is probably the only other must-have.
Yeah, you want those ones for the drop riddles, and because that way you're maximizing and just keeping your suspect tokens, suspect markers out on the table.
I believe this got cheaper in the app as well, by like 50 points.
Yeah, they're on 50 now.
Yeah, got cheaper.
A lot of stuff got cheaper.
Yeah. The only other notable stuff is you have inspiration, which I really like. It lets you, when a model plays a card, well, when a model with this equipment plays a card, you can pull one out of your resource pile. I like this for just making sure you always have a face down card when you need it. Or you can also kind of bluff your opponent in some certain lists, like, hey, I'm going to pick up this face down card. And then suddenly I'm playing a face down card. Is it the card? You've seen the card. Is it that card? And then it's not that card. Fool's on you.
Yeah, I do think you have to play a psychological game outside of the game when you're playing Riddler.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And the only other change is they used to have Distract. Now it's Bluff, which is pretty nice. That's the data pack.
Yep. Yep.
So all in all, we're playing a crew where we're not aiming about killing the enemy. We're winning the game through the use of our deck to manipulate the suspect cards to the riddle markers. We almost have to keep the enemy alive in order to force them to do the reveals. And we're playing psychological mind games with the decks themselves as well, because you're looking at things face down. So, again, going back to what I mentioned before, it really does sound like this is a crew overall where you have to build the crew right, you have to know what your deck is doing, and you've got to get that practice in and not be afraid to lose those games to learn what the thing does.
Yeah, and I mean, the most important thing is you have to stay alive. I've ended a lot of games where I have like one model left, and that one model typically was Calendar Man because he can suddenly go defense 5.
Yeah, it's a crew that if you wanted to start with them, I think you could, but I wouldn't ever give somebody a demo game with a Riddler. If you said, hey, I want to get into this, I want to play Riddler, I would say, sure, but you're going to play Batman to learn the game, and then you're going to play the Riddler.
Yeah, some crews just don't suit a demo game, no matter what system you're playing, and I think this is probably one of those. We're not going to say it's like a high tier. I think it's like a high ceiling, because you can get to learn to play it, but I think some really good players who know this really well could get a hell of a lot out of it, and it's going to reward you for putting that effort into it.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely one of my favorite crews. I play Riddler and Owls because they are just the complete opposite sides of the spectrum, where the Owls, I only drop a suspect if I absolutely have to, and with Riddler, I'm only attacking if I absolutely have to.
And I think that's a pretty good way of summarizing it. Is there any sort of final thoughts that any of you guys want to just throw out there in respect of Riddler?
The Joker and Riddler matchup is a lot of fun, but it's quite crazy. Every time I've played it, it's just like insane. But that's about it. I mean, it's a thematic deck. I love it. I do think some models are a little weak, so you kind of have to lean more into, you know, your three good eggs. Either your girls, your bodyguard, free agent. A lot of the lists can kind of look similar because you don't have a lot of model variety. But, you know, it just kind of comes down to how you play it.
Well, I think we've covered everything there, and we're trying to keep the episodes without us rambling on for a couple of hours as we used to do. So if none of you other guys have got anything else to add, I think we can wrap this up and say thank you for listening to everyone out there. And that was the Arkham Case Files, where the inmates run the asylum. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye.